Hello and welcome to Active Directory Rights Management Services, or RMS, in Windows Server 2008. My name is Joel Barker. Today we're going to show off some of the elements of Microsoft Windows Server 2008 that enable the complete protection of documents and messages. Information rights management is a growing concern for all sorts of organizations, and we will outline some common IRM needs and scenarios. A lot of IT departments are being called upon to help secure mission-critical information for their organizations and clients. Active Directory Rights Management Services is the new name for RMS in the Windows Server 2008 system. Throughout this session, I will refer to it as simply AD-RMS. AD-RMS has expanded functionality from Windows RMS, its predecessor. We will see how it can be quite easily deployed and utilized in some very standard scenarios, including overcoming the challenge of creating rights for users outside of our organization. Both Microsoft Office 2003 and Office 2007 will deeply integrate with AD-RMS. We will use Office to create and consume rights management documents. A consumer of a rights-managed document will not even be able to take a screenshot of the application. We will also see how the new AD-RMS integrates with Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, allowing document management of rights-protected files. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all the new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. So to assist you, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Rights Management Services utilizes Active Directory for primary user verification. Although RMS can also use Smart Card or another verification layer, it will be good for you to have worked with Active Directory users and computer objects. RMS is also reliant on a certificate authority and a public key infrastructure, a standard for encryption and authorization. We won't have time to talk about the basics of certificate issuance and authorization, so it would be helpful to have some experience with PKI in Windows. To cover the topics we mentioned in the earlier slide and to keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. We will first look at the new features of Active Directory Rights Management Services. We will look at the previous version of Microsoft RMS and the two service packs issued for it. Then we will look at the new AD-RMS in Windows Server 2008 and the scenarios to utilize it. In the next agenda item, we will employ RMS with RMS-enabled applications, such as Microsoft Word, Outlook email messages, and a SharePoint server library. In the last portion of this session, we will talk about how to extend the reach of our IRM to users outside of our own Active Directory forest. Among other ways to do that is to use Active Directory Federated Services, abbreviated to ADFS, to form trust relationships with partner organizations. First, we need to describe what exactly we are talking about when we say rights management. These days, organizations and individuals store a great deal of private data in digital documents. They want to be able to share it with those that need it, but to be able to control who can access it. On a network, we can use ACLs, NTFS, and Active Directory to control access. Unfortunately, digital data such as Microsoft Word documents and email messages are easy to duplicate and pass on. There are numerous examples of business, personal, and government files being read by the wrong people due to accidental distribution or malicious espionage. Microsoft offers a solution to this challenge of information rights management, often referred to as IRM. If you're familiar with the core infrastructure optimization model, you'll recognize information rights as an important part of the evaluation of the identity and access management category. Put briefly, Microsoft Windows Rights Management Services, or RMS, is information protection technology that works with RMS-enabled applications to help safeguard digital information from unauthorized use, both online and offline, inside and outside of the firewall. When Microsoft introduced Rights Management Services for Windows Server 2003, it was a freely available add-on for the server, managed through a web interface. RMS augments an organization's security strategy by protecting information through persistent usage policies, which remain with the information no matter where it goes. organizations can use RMS to help prevent sensitive information, such as financial reports, product specifications, customer data, and confidential email messages, from misuse. The great advantage of RMS over simply encrypting a document is the persistent nature of RMS. Because it's integrated into the document, the application, and the operating system, RMS rights remain with the document for that document's entire life. This is a more extensive protection than simply encrypting a file, because when decrypted, a file is then accessible in all the ways that an unprotected file would be. RMS Service Pack 1 added features such as the capability to operate without internet access, the federal FIPS 140-2 certification, and the ability to use multi-factor authentication, like smart cards. Service Pack 2 added the ability to apply RMS to SharePoint Server 2007. Microsoft Windows Rights Management Services for Windows Server 2003 is information protection technology that works with RMS-enabled applications to help safeguard the digital information from unauthorized use, both online and offline, and inside and outside of the firewall. RMS has now become more linked to the server operating system. With Windows Server 2008 Rights Management Services, it is no longer an add-in. Rather, it is an integration into the operating system. It can be added to a server using the Server Manager Add Role Wizard. Server Manager is a new feature that is included in Windows Server 2008. It's designed to help IT administrators through the process of installing and managing server roles and features. Now that the RMS server elements are integrated into Windows Server 2008, it is no longer managed by a web interface. Instead, RMS is managed by an MMC. The MMC offers specific advice for RMS and guidance, as well as event viewing. Also integrated into Windows Server 2008 is Active Directory Federated Services, or ADFS. When an application is in one network and a user account is in another network, the user is typically prompted for secondary credentials when he or she attempts to access the application. These secondary credentials represent the user's identity in the realm where the application resides. The web server that hosts the application usually requires these credentials so that the web server can make the appropriate authorization decision. With federated services, a trusted partner's domain can be used to validate their own user's credentials. As a result, the two organizations do not need to create secondary accounts for users. Once federated services have been deployed, all users in both organizations can use RMS to create and consume RMS-protected items using their native credentials. For the IT team and the CIO, these changes make for a simpler deployment and management of RMS and a tool that can be used in more situations for the organization. RMS does have several prerequisites. Before installing our first RMS server, the environment must be prepared. RMS uses the existing Active Directory installation to verify users and computers, so it is a necessary prerequisite. In addition, it will be necessary to have a certificate authority in the network, either within the organization or derived from a third party. RMS can be deployed on a single server or a cluster. It requires a SQL server. That SQL server can either be on a separate server or on one of the RMS computers. For testing and for very small installations, the SQL server that's embedded in Windows Server 2008 will work. Clients who plan to use RMS must have the RMS client installed. Windows Vista clients are pre-configured with the Windows RMS client. For Windows XP Pro, the client can be downloaded from the Microsoft website and installed using Windows Update Services or SMS. The final step in RMS is for the end user. He or she must use an application to create and view RMS-protected data. We will learn more later about the Microsoft RMS Software Development Kit that allows us to use RMS with any number of applications. RMS functionality is also easily employed with Microsoft Office and Internet Explorer. We're going to be demonstrating RMS with a simulated network. In this demonstration, we will look at the prerequisites for deploying RMS, focusing on the certificate authority. Then we will create a custom rights template. Finally, the new RMS server will be used to protect a Microsoft Word document. IT Pro ADD 401 Demo 1-1 in 3, 2, 1. This is the domain controller for Contoso's office. Let's look at the prerequisites for using RMS in this organization. First, RMS relies on Active Directory for locating RMS service connection points and for validating user and machine identity so that it can authorize them. Active Directory for Windows 2000 Server Service Pack 3 or later must be in place before RMS can be deployed. In addition, RMS uses certificates to verify connectivity. Since communication with the RMS server is via HTTP, it's also a good idea to use certificates for SSL communications. SSL, or HTTPS, makes the communication between client and server harder to eavesdrop on and verifiable. We will look a little deeper into that in just a second. For our demonstration, we have added the certification authority role to the domain controller. RMS can utilize a third-party or standalone CA, but in this case, we deployed an Active Directory CA. Although in a test environment, RMS and other certificate-utilizing tools will work without a revocation list, we'll need to have an established revocation list, or CRL, available. Without a CRL attached to a certificate, the certificate cannot be invalidated by the CA. When users change jobs or leave the organization, or if certificates are compromised, the revoked licenses can be listed. Any verification of the certificate will automatically check that the certificate is still valid. The certificates issued by the CA will list a network share, Active Directory, and web location to check the CRL. The CRL network share is not yet published, so we'll publish the CRL to that location. The RMS cluster will check this location for certificate revocation. By clicking Include in CRLs and Include in the CDP, certificates used within the network will have this location attached to them as a valid CRL location. We will publish the deltas of CRLs to this location to keep the list up to date as changes are made. For the changes that we made to take effect, the certification authority must restart. We will install RMS on a Windows Server 2008 server. It has several prerequisite roles and features that I want to point out. With the improved role deployment wizards in Server 2008, as I'll call it from here, these roles and features are automatically set up when setting up AD RMS. First, the Microsoft Message Queuing feature must be installed. Known as MSM Queue, message queuing allows applications running at different times to communicate if a system is temporarily unavailable. Clients access RMS using HTTP or HTTPS protocols, so the RMS servers must have IIS installed and ASP.NET enabled. As I mentioned, it is a good idea to deploy SSL on the RMS website. When you have an Active Directory root CA, it's easy to request and receive a server certificate. Like most web server certificates, this one must have the same name as the server that it represents. The other major requirement is a database. For our demo, we're using the built-in SQL Server in Server 2008. This works fine for testing and for very small environments, but production environments will require a SQL Server. Any AD RMS deployment that is a cluster will have to use a full SQL Server installation. We've already installed the RMS role in the server to save time in this demonstration. In the role wizard, we could have registered the service connection point in Active Directory. The Service Connection Point, or SCP, is an entry in Active Directory that tells clients the location of the RMS server. Two SCPs can be registered, one for internal clients and one for the extranet. Make sure that the SCP is correctly registered before creating clients. Otherwise, RMS-protected documents will incorrectly indicate the SCP to consuming applications. With Microsoft ISA, the RMS clusters can easily be published to the Internet, where users can be identified and authorized when connected through the Internet. Once again, we want to use SSL whenever possible to protect this communication. Use an RMS address that is registered with your external DNS. The URLs for both the intranet and extranet are now configured in RMS and ready to be entered into the Active Directory SCP. The SCP must be changed by an administrator who has the right to modify Active Directory. The SCP is now registered in Active Directory and is ready for clients. RMS-enabled applications allow authors to select rights policy templates that specify the rights and conditions that apply to protected content. RMS administrators create and manage rights policy templates. We need to create templates that suit our organization. From the administrator console on the Windows RMS server, administrators can create official rights policy templates, delete or modify existing templates, and specify the location of rights policy templates in the RMS system. Templates can include various conditions, such as specific recipients or Active Directory groups, how long a use license for the information remains valid, how long after publication the information can be accessed, and even custom values that are meaningful to a particular RMS-enabled application. First, assign a name, language, and description to the template. Usage rights can be assigned on a granular level to individuals and groups by email address. You can also create a baseline right for anyone. We will allow all users to view, save, and reply to documents, but not to print, forward, or extract. Now, add additional rights to the finance group. By default, Active Directory does not add email addresses to groups, so manually add email addresses for groups in Active Directory users and computers. Grant the finance group full control. Select the checkbox to grant the creator full control. The rights request URL is a location for a user to get additional rights. Content can be set to expire on a specific date or in a period of time after creation. It is possible to use an Internet Explorer add-on to view rights-protected content. However, the creator or the template administrator can control that capability. For this template, we will enable the browser add-on. If we disable client-side caching, a user will have to connect to the RMS server every time a document is opened. They will not be able to read it offline. For a long-term RMS deployment to be successful, it will need a revocation list. Users that are no longer allowed to consume content are listed. Every time a new use license is issued or used, the revocation list is checked for validity. Be careful when implementing revocation. The revocation list must be periodically refreshed or it will automatically expire. Make sure that the revocation list can be reached from both within the network and through the firewall. Now our users can create and consume RMS-protected content. Using Microsoft Word 2007, the user Aaron Kahn will create a document, and then we will have a different user attempt to open it. In Office 2007, the protection ribbon is in the review group. Click Restricted Access. A user can apply a template made available by administrators, or they can use the application interface to create custom restrictions. We will set different levels of restriction. The read setting will allow a user to open and read a document, but not to perform any additional actions. Alex Robinson will be able to change the document. Now we can look at further controls that the document owner has over a document. If the owner reopens the document, he or she can edit the permissions at will. These changes will be applied when the document is saved. A document can have an expiration date, after which it will no longer be viewable. We can also be more specific about what authorized users can do, such as using copy and paste functions. Provide an email address for users to request additional access. User credentials are cached if the user is using a newer version of RMS client or is enrolled with an offline certificate. For more sensitive documents, we can require that the client is connected and checks the RMS cluster every time he or she opens the document. The document creator can set defaults for his or her own document creation. Now that we've added protections to the document, we will save it to a public folder so another user can open it. An XRML issuance license is now attached to the file. XRML is an industry-standard, well-documented rights expression language. XRML provides digital properties with a simple-to-use, universal method for expressing rights linked to the use and protection of digital information, including web services. Developers can integrate new and existing rights management systems easily with XRML so we can expand upon our RMS service with custom uses. Moreover, XRML is currently the only rights expression language used in working rights management solutions. It's also been recognized by industry standard groups such as MPEG. The issuance license and the user's identity are passed to the rights management system, which builds a license. Now we will open the rights protected document as a different user. The XRML license attached to the document specifies the service connection point to which the client must attach to obtain a license. Microsoft Word prompts the user that the license is requesting an internet connection. In Word 2007, a notification of the rights-protected nature of the document appears. We can view our own permissions because the creator specified that was allowed. The document expiration is stated. This user, Florian Voss, has been granted permission to open and read the document. However, the Microsoft Word copy feature is entirely disabled for the document. In addition, the user cannot print the document. The Save button is also disabled. The XRML standard extends beyond the application. The RMS client, which is integrated into Windows Vista and is freely downloadable for earlier Windows operating systems, monitors all programmatic access of the content. Windows Vista's new accessory, the snipping tool, allows the user to create images of sections of the screen, which we will now use to get around the RMS protection of the document. So we can just select the area of the screen that contains the protected content and copy the information that way. The RMS client integrated into the operating system recognizes the unauthorized attempt to access the document and prevents access. RMS provides deep integrated protection of our information. We can now look at how to provide RMS to our users. During this section, we will see the inner workings of creating and viewing RMS documents, and which different applications can utilize RMS. The functionality of RMS is dependent upon linking it with business operations through smart deployment and linking to applications. When the RMS server is deployed, users can start creating and distributing their RMS protected files. This is how an RMS protection schema works. The author receives a client licensor certificate from the RMS server the first time they rights protect information. This is a one-time step that enables offline publishing of rights protected information in the future. Using an RMS-enabled application, an author creates a file and defines a set of usage rights and conditions for that file. A publishing license is then generated that contains the usage policies. The application encrypts the file with a symmetric key, which is then encrypted to the public key of the author's Windows RMS server. The key is inserted into the publishing license, and the publishing license is bound to the file. Only the author's Windows RMS server can issue use licenses to decrypt this file. The author can then distribute the file. The file can be distributed in any manner. A file that is emailed, placed on FTP, or copied to removable media always retains RMS policies. When the recipient receives the file and opens it using an RMS-enabled application, and he does not have an account certificate on the current computer, the RMS server will then issue one. The RMS document itself will now notify the application of the RMS server URL. The application then sends a request for a use license to the RMS server that issued the publishing license for the protected information. The request includes the recipient's account certificate, including the public key, and the publishing license which encrypted the file. A publishing license issued by a client licensor certificate includes the URL of the server that issued the certificate. In this case, the request for a use license goes to the Windows RMS server that issued the client licensor certificate and not the actual computer that issued the publishing license. The Windows RMS licensing server validates that the recipient is authorized, checks that the recipient is a named user, and creates a use license. During this process, the server decrypts the symmetric key using the private key of the server, re-encrypts a symmetric key using the public key of the recipient, and adds the encrypted session key to the use license. This step ensures that only the intended recipient can decrypt the symmetric key and thus decrypt the protected file. The server also adds any relevant conditions to the use license, such as the expiration or an application or operating system exclusion that the creator imposed. When the validation is complete, the licensing server returns the use license to the recipient's client computer. After receiving the use license, the application examines both the license and the recipient's account certificate to determine whether any certificate in either chain of trust requires a revocation list. The recipient can now perform whatever actions the creator specified. Let's talk about what tools the author and recipient can use. We talked about the underlying architecture of the servers and client computers. One more piece of the RMS picture is the applications. An application must utilize RMS for it to create protected items. Microsoft Office is RMS compliant. With Office, we can create protected Word, Excel, InfoPath, and PowerPoint documents. In addition, Outlook extends RMS capabilities to email messages. A user can specify whether a message can be forwarded, printed, or if content can be copied out of the message. With either Office 2003 Professional, Office 2000 Professional Plus, or Office 2007 Enterprise, we can create and publish RMS-protected documents and messages. Clients running the standard version of either Office 2003 or Office 2007 can read protected content, but not publish it. If you have started using Office 2007, you may be familiar with the new Windows Presentation Foundation, or WPF. The new Office file formats utilize WPF. They utilize the Open Packaging Conventions, a zip-based packaging convention shared with Office 2007 that supports core properties and custom metadata, digital signatures, and rights management functionality. As an open convention, developers can utilize WPF to create their own document types and employ Active Directory RMS on those documents. The Open Packaging Convention specification does not mandate a specific rights management solution. However, it ships with Windows Rights Management Services. When an author creates a protected document, Office will also embed a rights-managed HTML version of the content within the file. After downloading and installing the Rights Management add-on for Internet Explorer, a user without Office can view the HTML embedded version of a protected document. The client will still need Rights Management installed. In addition, a developer can create rights-protected HTML documents which use the .rmh extension. With the Windows RMS SDK, developers can freely extend RMS to other applications. The Software Development Kit is a free download from the Microsoft website, which we can use to apply RMS to custom line-of-business applications. A developer can use the features of the RMS API to build applications that consume or publish protected and licensed digital information of their own design. The majority of the RMS API is intended to be used by software developers who are proficient in C++. Knowledge of SOAP is required if the SOAP web methods are to be used. Complete documentation and code samples are installed within the RMS SDK. The most up-to-date RMS SDK documentation can be found in the MSDN library under Win32 and COM development/security/rights management/SDK documentation/rights management services SDK. Using the SDK, several Microsoft partners offer RMS-based solutions. I'll highlight a few examples to give you an idea of what can be done with an RMS implementation. For instance, small businesses can hire services such as GigaTrust to utilize RMS without investing in additional infrastructure. Liquid Machines, along with several other companies, extend RMS features to additional file formats such as PDF and CAD files. They, and other companies like Avanade, also utilize RMS to provide services to mobile products such as BlackBerry and Windows mobile devices. Unisys, Titus Labs, and Workshare offer consulting and products for custom RMS solutions for an enterprise, including offer RMS to other operating systems. As I mentioned, Active Directory RMS also supports SharePoint 2007. With RMS, we can now protect documents and libraries, and they still be able to use SharePoint's search and management functions. Let's see the SharePoint integration with RMS in our demonstration environment. This demonstration will show how to connect our SharePoint server to the RMS cluster and apply rights management services to documents placed into the SharePoint site. Because our SharePoint client is Windows Server 2003, we need to install the RMS client before we can enable SharePoint RMS integration. The RMS client software is freely downloadable from the Microsoft website. Here, we will manually install the client. However, any software distribution channels, such as SMS or group policy, can be used to deploy the client to our entire organization. Both Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista come pre-configured with the RMS client. RMS client can be installed on Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, and even on Windows 98 and Windows ME. This software installation does not require a reboot. Now the SharePoint server needs to have access to the certification pipeline of the RMS cluster. This is accomplished by granting the SharePoint server rights on the RMS cluster. Configuring SharePoint gives us a chance to look at the process of certification in RMS. The RMS system relies heavily on two virtual directories within Internet Information Services, the certification and licensing pipelines. These pipelines allow users and their computers to enroll into the RMS environment and RMS-enabled applications to publish and access rights-protected information. The certification pipeline's primary function is to enroll components into the RMS system. The RMS administrator is already allowed to access the certification file. Now we need to allow the SharePoint server rights to read the file. We've created a simple RMS configuration, but for an actual environment, it is ideal to have high availability for the RMS server. If the certification server stops working, users will be unable to obtain or renew rights account certificates, called RACs, which are their RMS identity. Without a valid RAC, a user cannot obtain a client license certificate for a document, nor protect information in an online transaction with a licensing server, nor obtain a use license from a licensing server. RMS client systems will be unable to obtain a lockbox if a certification server stops working. For this reason, consider clustering RMS servers. Now we can enable the SharePoint server to utilize RMS for documents. This is accomplished through the SharePoint Central Administration. RMS integration requires SharePoint 2007 Standard or Enterprise. Microsoft Windows SharePoint Services 3.0 does not have the Microsoft Office Protector files that are required to automatically rights protect a document when it is uploaded. Enable RMS in the Operations section of the Administration website. It will query Active Directory for the particulars of the RMS server, so no additional configuration is necessary. The goal of integrating an Office SharePoint Server 2007 deployment with an RMS infrastructure is to be able to protect documents that are downloaded from the Office SharePoint Server 2007 server by users of any given organization. Now, for the particular site in which we want to apply RMS, enable IRM. Give the policy a descriptive name. Our new SharePoint IRM capability will not interfere with the library functions of SharePoint. To accomplish this, SharePoint actually reads RMS licenses of posted documents and stores that data separately. SharePoint IRM integration refers to this as an integrated protector. Integrated protectors rely on Windows SharePoint services for access to the RMS platform in order to generate protected versions of files and to remove protection from rights-managed files. The rights are then reapplied when the document is checked out or opened. For this site, we will not allow users to print the files. We can do a couple of global changes to further secure this SharePoint site. if you set your document library to accept only documents that Windows SharePoint services can rights manage, the user will not be able to upload documents that have had rights management protection applied by an application other than Windows SharePoint services. We can also set a time limit on these protections. Now this site is ready to manage RMS protection for documents. The user Florian Voss will now create and post a document to the SharePoint document store. This SharePoint integration is administrator controlled. If we created a document and applied our own RMS protections, they would also be applied. However, any documents posted will all have the administrative policies that we created. Now open the SharePoint website. When a user checks a protected file into the document library, Windows SharePoint Services again determines if there is a registered IRM protector that handles the document's file type. If there is not a registered IRM protector, Windows SharePoint Services uploads the document as is without performing any further decryption or processing. However, if the document library is configured to reject items that cannot be rights managed, Windows SharePoint Services cancels the file upload instead. Upload the file to the document store. Now log off and log on once again as Aaron Kahn. Aaron will open the document. When a user requests a file from a document library that has IRM enabled, Windows SharePoint Services first performs its standard processing, such as syncing document metadata. If the document is rights managed, Windows SharePoint Services determines if an IRM protector associated with the document's file type is registered. If not, Windows SharePoint Services downloads the document to the user without rights management protection. Microsoft Word informs us that it is now going to contact the RMS server. If the client was unable to obtain a CLC, the user would not be able to access the document. Since it can, it will apply the rights that we specified. The print feature is disabled. The user can view his or her own permissions, which explains why the document is not printable. We've seen RMS in action within a single Active Directory environment. In this section, we want to explore how to enable RMS for users outside of an organization or between two Active Directory forests. We will be able to expand the reach of RMS by deploying it through a firewall and expanding the users who can access our RMS server. For RMS to be truly useful, we need to be able to apply and consume rights when users are no longer connected directly to the domain in which RMS is implemented. We can easily configure our RMS server or server cluster to be accessible from outside of the network through a firewall. Firewalls such as Microsoft ISA 2007 can be configured to safely collect and pass credentials to the RMS server. By default, a user must connect to the RMS server to create new documents. If we need to support travelers with laptops who need to utilize rights protection, we can enroll their laptop for offline publishing. Client computers can enroll with the RMS root installation or a licensing server to receive a Rights Management Client Licensor Certificate, which enables users to publish protected information when the computers are not connected to the corporate network. In this case, the client computer, rather than the licensing server, signs and issues the publishing licenses that contain the usage rights and conditions for rights-protected information published from that computer. If we need to allow users outside of our network to read rights-protected documents, we can allow Microsoft.net accounts to be used by readers. Earlier, I mentioned integration with federated services as a new feature of Active Directory RMS. Federated services, like RMS, is integrated into Windows Server 2008. If we're partnering with another organization and we want to use our rights management service but would rather not recreate all of their users in our Active Directory, federated services is the answer. Users in both organizations can authenticate to their own domain but authorize each other with permissions on documents and email. Let's see how federated services is deployed and used with RMS. RMS can be leveraged for more than just internal users. We can allow Windows Live ID users access to our RMS-protected documents. We can also trust racks issued by other RMS servers. With Windows Server 2008, RMS and Active Directory Federated Services are available as roles. We will show how to configure RMS as an ADFS application. RMS can be applied to documents that are not only for consumption of domain members located inside the network. Through trust policies, we can trust rights access certificates issued by other RMS clusters. The trusted user domains identify domains from which this RMS cluster will trust rights account certificates. In the default setup, RMS will only trust the racks it has issued. Windows Live ID, formerly Microsoft Passport, can issue racks, allowing RMS users to include any Windows Live ID subscriber in an RMS schema. However, the administrator must enable the Windows Live ID trust on the RMS server. The administrator can provide some granular control of any trust relationship, including Windows Live ID. We can exclude individual users or domains from a trust relationship. Users within the organization would now include Windows Live ID users in the permissions of a document by entering the email address associated with the Live ID account into the permissions form of a document. The RMS server will need to have internet connectivity to confirm the account. Another RMS installation, such as a partnering company or another cluster within the same Active Directory forest. To add an RMS installation to the list of trusted user domains, you must import the server licensor certificate for the RMS installation that you want to add. The administrator must first export the server licensor certificate from the server or cluster we're going to trust. We would then import the server licensor certificate into our own RMS cluster servers. This allows an RMS server to process a licensing request that includes a rights account certificate that was issued by an RMS server that is in the other organization. In the same manner, to process licensing requests from users within your own organization who reside in a different Active Directory forest, you can add the RMS installation in that forest to the list of trusted user domains. This allows an RMS server that is in the current forest to process a licensing request that includes a rights account certificate that was issued by an RMS server in the other forest. When trusted users or remote domain users access an RMS-protected document, the RMS data within the XRML of the document will specify the external URL of the RMS cluster. We registered this URL in Active Directory earlier in our demonstration. publish this URL through the firewall and register it with public DNS. To further expand RMS capabilities, consider employing it with Active Directory Federated Services. In Windows Server 2008, ADFS, like RMS, is now a role that is enabled from the Server Manager. In addition, as the ADRMS role is added, the administrator has the option of also adding Federated Web Support. This consists of extensions to the RMS web page for external connections. We can configure this aspect of federated services from within the ADRMS MMC. For RMS, we can change the length of time that an ADFS RMS client certificate is valid. We need to specify the path that federated clients will use to access the RMS cluster. When a user in a federated domain accesses an RMS document, they will automatically browse to this site to initiate the federated check of their credentials. Now we need to modify the websites for the RMS to guide the federated services check. Once the federated client connects to the RMS server, the RMS server will look at this address to check for the ADFS resource server. The certification external website includes the federated server information. It is contained in the web.config file. This file is accessed programmatically when a new client requests a rack. We will open the web.config file using Notepad. The federated server setting is at the bottom of the document. In an enterprise, the federated server should be a server that is accessible from the perimeter. Save the changes to the document. Make sure that the Federation server setting is correct for both certification and licensing. Let's also look at how the ADFS resource server is configured for ADRMS. A Federation Trust policy contains Federation Trust relationships and claims. We will look at the relationships and claims in just a second. First, we will identify this Federation server. The Federation service URI can be a familiar HTTP or a URN. The Federation Service Endpoint URL is the endpoint URL that partner organizations send requests and responses to. Like RMS, certificates are an important part of the verification process. Both federated partners must contain a token signing certificate. The trust policy can contain multiple certificates, but the last one cannot be deleted. Within the trust policy are the claims for the organization. Claims are statements, such as name or identity, made about users. Both partners in an Active Directory federated service need to share the same claims. ADFS uses account stores to log on users and extract security claims for those users. ADFS supports two types of account stores, Active Directory Domain Services and ADLDS, or Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. Now, add a new application to the ADFS server, the ADRMS application. This will allow a user in a federated domain to consume RMS-enabled documents. RMS is a claims-aware application. The claims that we created in the trust policy will be used to identify our users to the RMS cluster. In the application details page, enter the URL that clients will be connecting to. A client will be redirected to the ADFS server's IIS server, which will then verify the federated user with the account partner, federated server. Enable UPN and email as accepted claims. Now, enable the application and complete the wizard. For a complete federated RMS solution, we would need to repeat the wizard for the external licensing RMS site. The move to Windows Server 2008 can help you realize a more efficient and automated environment. We actually have a way to measure and help you map these improvements with what we call the Infrastructure Optimization Model. The Infrastructure Optimization, or I/O model, from Microsoft helps customers understand and subsequently improve the current state of their IT infrastructure, and what that means in terms of cost, security risk, and operational agility. Dramatic cost savings can be realized by moving from a basic unmanaged environment towards a dynamic environment. Security improves from highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. Windows Server 2008 includes many new security, management, and automation features that can help you move more easily towards a dynamic and people-ready environment. By deploying Active Directory RMS on Windows Server 2008, users can now control the use, not just access, to their important documents. Your identity and access management capabilities in the core I/O model are significantly advanced. If your organization is partnering or merging with another organization, the deployment of federated services provides still more identity and access management optimization. Before we go, we will summarize this session's main points. Active Directory Rights Management Services ships with Windows Server 2008. It's installed and managed like any other role through an MMC with several guides and wizards that ease management. This means that deploying, monitoring, and managing an IRM strategy is simpler and lowering the barrier of entry into information rights management for any organization. When security rights are applied to a document, they are persistent to that document, no matter where it travels to. The ability to view, forward, copy, print, or otherwise manipulate a document is always dictated by the author's RMS server. Active Directory Federated Services integrated with Rights Management Services means that partnering organizations can apply RMS rights without having duplicate user accounts in each organization. In merger or partnering scenarios, ADFS will cut down significantly on the IT department's workload. Users can immediately collaborate just as if they were in the same Active Directory forest. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-401 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics, where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes the PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are also available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional. You can choose to become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, or a Systems Engineer, an MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, the MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, or MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, the MCITP credentials, provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll be interested to hear about.
TechNet Plus is an essential premium web-enabled and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity and control and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, Client, and Application Software titles. With full version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for certification exams, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with 2 complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet Library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. Thank you for attending this TechNet event. We hope that you enjoyed learning about the new Microsoft technologies.